This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call on Wednesday, August 11th, 2021. And
a little bit delayed today, but I think that's okay because the main event is really the CPI later today.
Exactly. I was on Danish Broadcasting Radio, so that's why we have this delay. Hopefully that will not happen too many times. On Monday, we have the full team back, so we'll be on time. But if we go to slide two, as you say, the main event of today is US CPI report at 12:30 GMT. And as you can see here on slide two, we have the NASDAQ 100 index slightly lower, but mostly trading water. And if we look at the session yesterday, what happened, we had a slight decline in the crypto and blockchain basket because of that infrastructure bill, which, according to the CEO of Kraken, one of the big exchanges in the crypto industry, said that this was the worst legislation on the crypto industry ever. It could have been much worse, but they did get in some amendments. And so that industry was down, and you had bubble stocks also declining because we still have interest rates on the rise. On the flip side, we had the commodity sector back in a positive mood, up 1%, battery as well, and 3D printing. But enough about equities, Ole, because it's all about the yields, and it's all about the inflation report today. And you have a great chart here on slide four on rates.
Yeah, just showing the correlation or the relationship between break-even, inflation-adjusted yields, and nominal yields. And as you can see, we've been fairly stable now on break-even yields for a while. And while nominal yields has been picking up recently, that has really helped send real yields, so in the inflation-adjusted yields, back towards the negative 1% from above 120 just recently. And this will be a key focus in the market, how the market responds to these CPI data, because obviously if we see above expectation number, then maybe we could see a move in the break evens, and that may not necessarily have a much of a negative impact on real yields. So that's really where our focus lies this afternoon, and also with that, the transition to the forex market, because you mentioned commodities, and we are dollar dependent here, and as we speak, we are really toying with this 117 level against the euro dollar. And if we do break, as you can see on slide five, 116 really is the next port of call. So we are just on the edge here ahead of this release this afternoon.
Yeah, and keep in mind that a rising dollar and if we get rising nominal yields in the US as well on the back of this US CPI report later today, then you're looking for a double whammy into the emerging markets. We've talked about it before. The emerging market bond market is actually the worst performing as a class year to date. So I just want to point out as well with the yields, Ole, that a lot of talks now among economists that the expectation is for the break-even rates to be more or less within the range that we have been so or have seen the past 4 months, so that the heavy lifting will come from the nominal side. So in other words, we'll have real yields coming higher. And if we go back in real yields terms back to the highs from late or mid March, then we are looking at nominal yields going back to that level around 1.8%, and that could be an interesting development. And also today's CPI report is a very interesting lead into the Jackson Hole, where you're going to have this big discussion about when are we going to taper, when do we see a rates lift off.
And that if that's the case, Peter, a stronger dollar, rising nominal yields, led by real yields, not by break evens, would obviously be further hurting the fragile gold market and precious metals in general. So gold is still in a precarious spot here, holding above 1700, but still needs to break back above 1750 in order to make some headwinds. So, but commodity prices are rising, and we are seeing that having an impact on companies and their ability to make money.
Exactly. So we in early European trading, we have Vestas, the world's largest wind turbine manufacturer, cutting its outlook for revenue by €500 million And that has taken the market by surprise. And they basically hinted at this in Q1 that they were being impacted by commodity prices, and specifically steel prices, because you're using a lot of steel when you're producing a wind turbine. And now we just got the Q2, and they're really seeing the bite coming from this commodity rally. And it's, you know, we have the ongoing green transformation, electrification, steel prices, but also, you know, copper prices, right? I mean, it's we're still seeing these pressures in different industrial metals.
Indeed, and you could argue that copper prices should have done better following that infrastructure bill passing Congress yesterday, or the Senate yesterday. But it still needs to get to the Congress, where an even bigger fish to fry awaits, because going from 500 billion to 3.5 trillion, which is the next big package, some Democrats basically say we don't want to vote on this small bill before we actually get our real demands through on the big one. So copper is responding relatively muted to that announcement. I think also due to the fact that there's been some strike action or strike risks in Chile building during the past few weeks. Some of that now seems to be fading, with BHP seem to be on track to reach an accord with the biggest mining operation. So in the short term, copper is probably not out of the woods yet. It looks like we still got some prolonged period here of sideways trading. And just look at the chart here on slide 6. We got the uptrend coming all the way from the March low last year. We are getting close to getting increasingly close to that level. If we do break, then if you look at high grade, then $4 could potentially be the next target there. So the green transformation is the underlying factor keeping the market supported. But in the short term, we may still see some weakness, especially if that dollar starts to move higher again.
And then we have to talk about the oil, because the Delta variant has been the big unknown, and the slowdown in the Chinese economy. Luckily, I think for oil, India has really held up pretty well, despite of that terrible COVID-19 outbreak with the Delta variant earlier this year. So I think that's sort of the light at the end of the tunnel, that you know, despite of all these variants and the Delta, it seems like the world continues to open up more and more, and demand is still, I guess, underpinned.
Absolutely, Peter. And we are seeing a slowdown in jet fuel demand right now. Cancellations are, and less flights is the current result of this Delta virus spreading. But we are seeing a pickup in demand from South America that's helping to offset some of the worries, at least in the short term, from China. Goldman Sachs came out, they are very bullish. So they've been that for a long time. They came out with a report overnight, basically saying that we see this Delta impact as being transitory, perhaps only impacting demand over the next couple of months before raising higher towards the end of the year. So just looking at the chart here on slide 7, we have the double delight, or double bottom delight, as I call it, on the chart following that sell-off early in the week. And the potential we could try to build on that. Focus today, obviously, CPI data and its impact on the dollar, but also the weekly stock report, which is expected to be supported once again.
All right. So the macro calendar, very quickly on slide 8, we have already mentioned the US July CPI 12:30. You mentioned the EIA's weekly petroleum report at 14:30 all, and then at 1800, maybe not the most interesting report in the macro sphere, but at 1800 GMT, we have the July monthly budget statement from the US. The reason why I track this is because we have an historically high stimulus going into the economy. The US is operating at a minus 12% budget deficit, and the output gap is closing very rapidly. So again, it's that story of extraordinary stimulus, something we haven't seen, at least on this in this size, since the years after the World War II. Tomorrow we'll be talking about the South Korean export, which is a leading indicator on the global economy, and we have a Mexico rate decision coming. But let's talk about that tomorrow, together with the focus, of course, from the CPI report. I'll just close this podcast with a few remarks on earnings. So yesterday, after the close in the US, we had earnings from Unity. It's a software company that, you know, basically, I think have around 50% market share on mobile development, and they raised their forecast for this fiscal year on revenue. I think the shares were up a couple of percent in extended trading. We already talked about Vestas. We also have NIO coming later today in the US session, and with the focus and the numbers that have been reported from Volkswagen and Tesla, I think the heat is on in terms of the electrical vehicle battle, and NIO, which disappointed in the previous quarter, they really need to deliver this time, or else I think they will lose the confidence of investors. So I think NIO is in the hot seat today. And I think that that's a wrap for today's podcast. And Ole and I will be back at tomorrow at the same time. Hopefully not with this long delay. But thank you for listening. We really much appreciate it. And take care out there. Thanks.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at Saxo Market Call or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.